In the name of Jesus, amen. The reading from 1 Peter is the basis for the sermon on this Lord's Day. There's a lot going on in these verses from Peter, and there's any number of sermons that could be preached on these verses. And if you start at the bottom and work your way up, we could have a sermon on Jesus being Lord of all, which he is. He's Lord of all things, and he rules over all. All things are in his power, and he's Lord over the angels and all powers are subject to him. That could be one sermon. We could have a sermon on baptism. Peter clearly says baptism now saves you. Just puts it right out there. And that's true. That's the way it is. Baptism is not just a man-made rite or ritual. It is something that God gives and it saves. We could have a sermon on suffering. Peter talks about that. Americans, we're not very good with suffering. We try to avoid it at all costs. If we can take a pill that would take it away, we'd be good with that. And yet, Peter reminds us that God works through suffering. I don't know that I would say that to somebody who's in the midst of suffering. That's kind of hard to hear. But God is at work even in our suffering. That could be a sermon. But I'm going to go with the fourth option, and that is I'm going to preach about hope. Because Peter writes about hope. Peter writes these words: "But in your hearts, honor Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you. Always be ready to give an answer to anyone who asks you about the hope that is in you." You have hope. You have hope. You are in Jesus. You have hope. What does that mean? What does that look like? And if we're going to give an answer, if somebody asks us about our hope, we need to know, well, what that hope is and what we're talking about. Sometimes to help us understand something, we can look at it by talking about what it is not. And I'm going to approach hope that way. Hope is, it's not wishful thinking. That's oftentimes how we use the word hope. We usually are saying, I hope this is going to happen, or I hope it's going to be nice, or, you know, this time of the year, I hope my team's going to, this is going to be the year. We hear sports fans, they say it in the spring with baseball, they say it in the fall with football, and, you know, fans say, I hope this is going to be the year. Well, for most teams, it's not going to be the year. Only two teams play in the Super Bowl. Only two teams play in the World Series. And out of that, only one wins. For most teams, this will not be the year. And yet fans say, well, I hope this is going to be the year. And what they're really saying is, I wish. I wish it would be the year. And, you know, somebody's wish will be granted. But despite, even then, when it comes to sports and professional teams, you don't have any input. You're not the manager, you're not the coach, you're not lining up the lineup. You just are being entertained. And that's kind of what that's all about. And what the professional sports people, what they're hoping is that you will spend your money. That's their hope. Because that's what drives all of that. They hope you'll spend your money and you hope your team wins. That's all kind of wishful thinking. And there's a place for that, but that's not Christian hope. Christian hope is not like making it sound religious. Like, I hope when I die, I go to heaven. That's kind of wishful thinking with a religious spin. Or I hope God is not mad at me. Or I hope God will give me what I want. Once again, that's kind of more wishful thinking. Christian hope is a certainty. And we often don't think of the word hope that way. A picture of what that looks like is found in the man who died next to Jesus on the cross. If you remember, Jesus was crucified with two other criminals, one on his right, one on his left. Jesus was in the middle. One of those criminals mocked Jesus, said, you know, save yourself and us if you are the Christ. And the other criminal, he called him out. He's like, Don't you fear God? You know, we are getting what we deserve. We are being punished justly. But this man, the man in the middle, he has done nothing wrong. And then that criminal, he turns to Jesus and he says to him, "Remember me when you come into your kingdom." He doesn't say, "Well, you know, I hope you remember me, Jesus," or, you know, "I tried to be good, I made some mistakes, I hope you remember me," or, "You know, I got some relatives that used to give a lot of money to the temple, so I hope you remember that." No, he says, "Remember me when you come into your kingdom." Now, Jesus looks as unkingly as a man could possibly look. He's a bloody mess, and he's soon going to die. And yet, that thief says, "Remember me when you come into your kingdom." And what is Jesus? How does he respond? What does he say to him? A little late now. You know, you should have thought of that sooner. Or, I wish you would have tried harder before you got crucified. No, he doesn't say anything like that. He says to him, "Truly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise. Truly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise." Now, that did not stop the criminal's suffering. You know, he didn't just, like, come off the cross and, "Oh, he's good to go." No, he still suffered. In fact, he suffered a lot. They would break his legs to speed up his dying. The promise of Jesus didn't stop any of that. And that's not what the man asked for. He asked to be remembered in the kingdom of Jesus, not with, "Well, I hope," or "I wish," "Maybe you can." He said, "Remember me." What does God's word promise? Everyone who believes in him will not be put to shame. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. That's what we mean when we say Christian hope. That's the kind of hope we're talking about as Christians. And that hope is yours. And it's yours right now. It is yours. It is yours in Christ. It is accomplished because Jesus is for you. We live in a community which is strongly Roman Catholic, and your Roman Catholic friends don't hear this. What they hear is that, well, you know, they're not good enough to go directly to heaven when they die. They have to go somewhere else. And so they're not sure. And that's what they're being taught. And that's, you know, there's a part of us that thinks that same way. Well, you know, I'm not good enough to go to heaven. And part of that's true. You're not. Neither am I. The man who died next to Jesus was not good enough to go to heaven on his own merits. None of us are. Our hope is not in ourselves. Our hope is in Jesus. Peter writes, "For Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, that he might bring us to God." And so Peter reminds us, in your hearts, honor Christ, the Lord is holy. That's your hope and your holiness, not in yourself, but in Christ. You need to give voice to that. You need to give voice to that when it comes up in conversation. And even then, the bold and brash Peter would remind us, do that with gentleness and respect to those who ask. You can't save anybody. You don't have that. You don't have that power. There are no magic words. You know, it's not a matter of if you just, you know, quote the right Bible passage at just the right time, that person you're talking to will say, yeah, I'll go to church with you. I believe in Jesus. You know, that's not how it works. That's not how it works. But if somebody asks you why you think church is important, you should be able to answer that. Should be, that's the place I go to hear what Jesus has done for me and for the whole world. And if somebody says to you, well, why do you think you're going to heaven? You should be able to answer that. And it's not because you think you're better than others. And if other people think that about you, please correct them. You are a sinner. I am a sinner, but you are a sinner and I am a sinner for whom Christ died, for whom he shed his blood, 100%. And that's good news. We give witness to that as we have opportunity. And don't Don't worry about the response. Don't get defensive. You can't talk anybody into following Jesus. But you can say what he's done for you. You can say what he's done for you, and what he's done for them, and what he's done for the whole world. And that is not wishful thinking. That's our hope, and it is solid, and it is secure, because it's true. How does the hymn writer put it? My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. No merit of my own I claim, I wholly rest on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. Jesus, your hope, in his holy name, amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep and guard your hearts and minds in true faith until our Lord comes again in glory. Amen.